This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to the show, Almir.
Yeah, hi.
In the introduction, we said you're a 39-year-old Welsh-Brazilian Jew living around the world but stationed in Brazil as much as possible. The question for you is, where does the Welsh part come in?
Well, it comes from family part. I was born there and lived there up to when I was four, moved to Brazil, and then moved back when I was eight to Cardiff, and then lived in Haifa for a while, and back to Brazil again. And then I turned a little bit independent and tried to stay here because I like it here.
So why all the moving around? Was one of your parents a diplomat or an international spy or something?
Not really. I think they spied around a lot. my mom was a professor, and she was always doing research here and there. And my dad was a lawyer.
Okay.
So I always tried to go back and forth. We had family in all these places. It was easy to go and be here and be there and, you know, study a little bit here, study a little bit there. And
yeah.
All that.
So did you grow up trilingual or quadlingual?
Kind of.
So tell me, what's your nationality then? Is it Brazilian or
Welsh? And Brazilian. I have two nationalities.
Oh, so you have a dual passports?
Oh, yeah. Which I don't use much around the world.
Okay. It's always handy to have two passports.
Indeed it is.
Well, sometimes it is, depending on the passport you have.
Oh, that's right, that's right. So let's get started about Brazil. Tell us, where do you live in Brazil at the moment?
Well, I used to live on the southeast part, which was Rio most of the time. And about 15 years ago, we came up northeast, which is where Brazil actually started. So it's a bit of the more, you know, like, how could I say, more traditional Brazil in colonial days, and still a very historical area. And now I'm on the northeast, which is trying to developing and becoming an industrial corner in Brazil.
Industrial in what way? What's the industry? Is it?
Well, all sorts, naval industries, and like they're building ships around here, and lots of ports, and tourism is quite getting more professional nowadays. Lots of TI, actually, there were, surprisingly enough, three teams from here got the Microsoft World Cup. So it's like, it has all sorts of things around here.
Okay.
Okay, and which of those things do you work in?
I work on marketing and communication.
One of the things that you told me was that you were involved with radio yourself.
Yes. Actually, so 6 months ago, I stopped on air, and we stopped having a program because I was kind of tired and bored and needed to change a bit. And maybe next year I'm starting a new program.
And what would that be about?
I never like one thing only, so everything I do has to have some variety. And so basically it will be a magazine sort of program, you know, a bit of entertainment news, lots of criticism, and a little dose of sarcasm.
Okay.
Do you get political on your shows?
Very much.
Okay.
What about gay and lesbian issues? Because your last show, you actually brushed over some of that.
Oh, well, you see, here we have lots of space for the issues, and people talk about it and debate about it. But we don't really have a focused sort of a team, you know?
Hmm.
In Brazil, generally, media focus on tries to humanize all things and speak about all things and try to push the legal right agenda for gays, lesbians, bisexuals in a more overall way. So we always have space. It's not like we have a censorship for that. To the contrary.
The listener in Brazil, if you bring up some gay and lesbian issues on a show that's not gay and lesbian, you wouldn't get people phoning in objecting to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very much. I mean, generally, people quite welcome this sort of debate, you know, like some people, I'm not so sure if it's from the mouth out, but at least when they participate on air, because we always do, you know, live phone calls and people get into the programs and always give their buzz.
Yeah.
But here and there, in 5 years on air, I never had any problem with somebody complaining or bitching or being prejudicial.
That's really good. I wish we could say the same.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to our Mio story very soon. This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We're on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and today we're speaking with Almir, who is in the northeast part of Brazil. Welcome to the show, Almir.
Oh, hi, Barb, again.
Yeah, it's great to still have you here. And we were talking during the break about the regional differences around Brazil, whereas up in the northeast, gay and lesbian issues are relatively okay, whereas down in the south, people are still being beaten up. Can you tell us a little bit about those differences?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not really a difference, a regional difference. It's like society and overall in Brazil is quite welcoming gay issues. But on the last few years, all gay rights, lawful rights, have been granted.
Okay.
And so there's lots of rights that have been granted to gay people. And that includes, you know, like widow plans, health plans, all sorts of things. Income taxes, rebates, and all that.
That's great.
That's pretty nice. And people are getting more open, and lots of gays are feeling more free to be openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other sense, this has triggered some sort of hate on very frustrated people. That turned violent. So crime against, usually gay crimes were against the transvestite street hustlers.
Okay.
Usually because they were also involved on drug dealing and all that. But nowadays, they are just mobbing people around, especially on the southern part, where these neo-Nazi and skinhead groups are taking turns on organizing themselves via the internet and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the federal police in Brazil, which is sort of the Brazilian FBI, are trying to track them down, and they are chasing them down, and they are, you know, putting them on jail and trialing them. So the biggest fight for LGBT things here is the criminalization of gender crime.
Yep.
And has
that gone through?
Well, it has been complicated. Because criminalizing that brings up all the other issues. So religious politicians are trying to say that they're having their freedom of expression censored. And other groups are against it. There was this politician the other day that even asked for a voting bill for a National Heterosexual Day, claiming that Brazilian gays wanted everybody to feel ashamed of being straight.
Yes, I'm sure that was on your agenda. That's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous, but he got his point. I mean, he cried out because there's a part of society that started to think that they were being forced actually to believe that things that they were told since motherhood or from any sort of walk of life they came from, that was wrong, and now they're being forced to accept and respect.
Yeah.
And this is what Brazil actually is facing now. Homophobia has arisen a bit, and media has turned it down the volume on the rights issues because of that, because it's starting to put people on risk.
Okay. And that is nationwide? That isn't just down in the south?
No, it's not really. Most cases were down south.
Yeah.
On the northern area of Brazil where I live, I haven't heard about it.
Okay.
Do
you know what that difference is of why it would be so different, north and south?
Well, on this case particularly, I blame it for the immigration content in it. Like, down south, there are lots of German influence and lots of Ukrainian and Italian, and they were very how could I say, secluded group.
Okay.
And they started this thing. And also, there's where's the biggest city. So the cities here in Brazil are humongous. They're all big. I don't live on one of the biggest ones in the country, but it has 3.5 million living in here. São Paulo itself has 16 million people living in just one city. So we have all sorts of craziness going on.
Amir, has these gay bashings and... I suppose in some cases murders affected.
Oh, yeah.
Is that affected tourism in the country, or?
Well, all those bashing things, and especially when neo-Nazi things were involved, were all down south. São Paulo has happened a lot, and even on Gay Pride Day.
Well,
yeah.
We'll come back to your story soon, Amir. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh, and our guest today is Amir from Brazil. Amir, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, about myself. Well, usually I try to be a good mood person most of the time. I like laughing a lot, especially laughing at myself.
Tell me, where do you fit into the gay and lesbian scene?
Well, on the most difficult part, I guess, because I am a bisexual, and I guess when it fits the definition of bisexual, that you can be in love with either one sex or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's one of the trickiest part, because when you are with a man and you're in love with the man and the man is loving you, he's always watching out for a shadow of you falling in love with a woman and vice versa. So it's not a very comfortable position.
Mm-hmm. Certainly in all the countries I've lived in, it's probably harder to be bisexual than to be either straight or gay, because neither community embraces you fully. Have you found that as well?
100% agreed.
And so how do you walk that identity line?
Whoever wants to be with me, I try to make sure that I'm not there because of the genital.
You're there for the person.
Yeah.
I prefer it, because I see most people here. I'm not too sure it's about, maybe it's a thing of an age. When you're over 20 and all that stuff, you're more worried about what you feel and not what the orgasms you have.
Yeah.
Amir, you once told me that females who are bisexual are more accepted than males. Is that true?
It is.
In what way is a female accepted more?
I think because they're more sensitive and more sensorial in a sense. So they can actually feel your emotion better in a way. They can feel that you are there, really, you know. Whilst gay men are a bit complicated. So usually when I have something, I actually prefer not to date gay men. I prefer bisexuals as well. It's less complicated for me.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. What's the complication with gay men?
At times, they... so hard to pinpoint.
I can sort of see it as an outsider, but as somebody who's not a gay man or a bisexual man, I wanted to get it from you, but I think I understand, but I did want to hear what you had to say.
Well, you know, it's just like the way you relate to one another.
Yeah.
Because, one, it's more, maybe gay men get more of a... It's not like a bonding, but it's sort of a merging, you know, a sort of symbiotic relationship.
Okay.
How does a bisexual man in Brazil meet other bisexual men? Do you have bars or clubs just for bisexuals? Or
no, we are not that organized at all. But it's not difficult. It's not difficult because people here don't have any trouble on giving you the eye and all that. So if you're not over shy, you always find somebody.
Do you go to gay bars or clubs?
Here and there I go, yes.
And what type of bars and clubs do they have where you live?
Well, we have here, We have three huge gay bars, which most of the people go.
Mm.
So it's just like whoever has a bit of a IQ or some sort of a, you know, it's more modern and relaxed, they go. So gay bars are not only gay bars here, you know, so you get all sorts of people there.
Would they be mixed men, women, bisexual, tranny,
time.
Everybody?
Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole circus together.
Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the tourism there. I mean, do tourists go to Brazil for sex, or is it tourists as tourists?
Well, there is this. There's still this folklore. Well, around the world, that Brazilians are sexy and they like sex. And they are extroverted on that and all that kind of crap. Plus, there's lots of prostitution involved as well.
Right.
So, yes, there's still sexual tourism going on, but it has diminished a lot.
Okay, we'll come back to your story, Amir. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. I am Barb, and I'm sitting here with Hugh, and we're speaking with Almir, who's in Brazil. And we've been speaking about his lives and his loves in Northeast Brazil. And now we're going to ask you a little bit about religion in Brazil. It's such an important topic because, you know, think of Carnival but it's a Catholic holiday, basically, Carnival. And so what is it like as a bisexual man in such a Catholic country?
Oh, well. Well, you know, Catholicism here is not as radical as around the world.
Okay.
So, I could say that Catholicism here is like being Protestant in the United States.
Ooh.
Everybody say they are, but they're not really there.
Because Brazil, to me, is one of these countries that you just assume is very Catholic, and everyone goes to the church all the time and prays all the time. And I take it that's not the case.
Well, you see, it's strange because people have a tendency to believe that any sort of whoever isn't straight doesn't have a spirit, doesn't believe in God, doesn't seek God somehow, you know. And here is not different than anywhere else. But there is this sort of a religiosity here that it's strange in a way because it mixes spiritism, it mixes some animic religions from African roots. It mixes everything, but in concerns of gay spirituality in a traditional way, they are trying to open up gay churches.
Okay.
Like the Jewish people here, for instance, doesn't have gay synagogues. Not at all.
Okay.
They don't even dare to talk about it.
When you say gay churches, what religion is trying to do this?
They would be Baptists or Neo-Baptists. I don't know how they call themselves.
Okay.
But they call it the New Brazilian Church, Christian Church.
Right.
Okay.
Based on Protestantism, not on Catholicism.
And is it a bit more sort of eclectic, as you say, mixing traditions from lots of different backgrounds?
Well, they tried to debate. They tried to raise some media biblical debates. So, you know, like there was this gay pastor with his husband on TV and the other pastor of another evangelical group. Mainly Pentecostal, which is pretty radical.
Indeed.
So
snake handling.
And imagine what sort of fight they had.
Like, wow.
It's like I was watching the thing out of curiosity because I think this is a big bullshit of a discussion, you know. I don't think God is to be discussed around people. It's just like it's you and God, God and you.
Yep.
Mm.
And so you were raised Jewish?
Yes.
And so what I don't tend to think about a large Jewish population in Latin America, and obviously I'm wrong. What's it like being Jewish in Brazil?
Quite comfortable.
Okay.
Quite comfortable. It's just like we don't have any sort of anti-Semitism. We hardly have to say that we're Jew, or people look at us, you know, like when they look at our last names, because they're usually exotic, right?
Okay.
So they go like, what is this from? And then you have to explain, and they look at you, and but they don't really know what it is to reject.
Okay.
On a religion basis.
And what's the sort of dominant strain of Judaism? Is it Orthodox or conservative or?
Conservative mainly.
Okay.
A bit of Kabbalism, which was the Jewish tradition I was born in, and none of the modern Jew around the world. I mean, as a Jew, as a bisexual or a gay Jew, being in the States, it's much more easy.
Yeah.
If you want to follow the religion and all that, it's much easier. Here, if you go and you open yourself, they just kick you out.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. Tell us a little bit about gay marriage in Brazil. One of the things you told me was that the gays don't really care about it there.
Yeah, yes, that's true. There is a huge, there is a big group that wants the marriage. But there is this other huge group that doesn't really care about it because they were more focused on the companionship rights that they want to have.
Mm.
So they are not really fond of wedding cakes and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Signing a piece of paper.
Yeah, like exchanging rings and putting, you know, paired tuxedos.
Because it's quite a big thing in so many countries, including this country. Everyone's trying to get our government to change their views and bring in gay marriage. But now you're telling me in Brazil, where people would expect it to be part of the agenda, I take it the government there is not even worrying about it.
Well, actually, there is this. It is there for being studied by the Congress for ages now.
Mm.
And there's this all sorts of frictions. So all the rights have been granted without this. Because
right.
on the Brazilian constitution here, they say that you constitute a family to procreate, and gays generally don't procreate, right?
Right.
Well, that's not true anymore, but...
Anyway,
but I mean... You know, that's what they wrote on paper ages ago.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and actually it's a dominating sort of thing because it's not a really question. So people here say like, well, what, you know, I'm for a party, it's not a marriage at all. You know?
Okay. Almir, we'll have to come back to your story very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. I am Barb, and I'm sitting here with Hugh, and we're speaking with Almir, who's in Brazil. And we've been speaking about his lives and his loves in Northeast Brazil. And now we're going to ask you a little bit about religion in Brazil. It's such an important topic because, you know, think of Carnival, but it's a Catholic holiday, basically, Carnival. And so what is it like as a bisexual man in such a Catholic country?
Oh, well, well, you know, Catholicism here is not as radical as around the world.
Okay.
So, well, actually, I could say that Catholicism here is like being Protestant in the United States.
Ooh.
Everybody say they are, but they're not really there.
Because Brazil, to me, is one of these countries that you just assume is very Catholic and everyone goes to the church all the time and prays all the time. And I take it that's not the case.
Well, you see, it's a strange because people have a tendency to believe that any sort of whoever isn't straight doesn't have a spirit, doesn't believe in God, doesn't seek God somehow, you know. And here is not different than anywhere else. But there is this sort of a religiosity here that it's strange in a way because it mixes spiritism, it mixes some anemic religions from African roots, it mixes everything. But in concerns of gay spirituality in a traditional way, they are trying to open up gay churches.
Okay.
Like the Jewish people here, for instance, doesn't have gay synagogues. Not at all.
Okay.
They don't even dare to talk about it.
when you say gay churches, what religion is trying to do this?
They would be Baptists or Neo-Baptists. I don't know how they call themselves.
Okay.
But they call it the New Brazilian Church, Christian Church.
Right.
Okay.
Based on Protestantism, not on Catholicism.
And is it a bit more sort of eclectic, as you say, mixing traditions from lots of different backgrounds?
Well, they tried to debate. They tried to raise some media biblical debates. So, you know, like there was this gay pastor with his husband on TV and the other pastor of another evangelical group. Mainly Pentecostal, which is pretty radical.
Indeed.
So
snake handling.
And imagine what sort of fight they had.
Wow.
It was like I was watching the thing out of curiosity because I think this is a big bullshit of a discussion, you know. I don't think God is to be discussed around people. It's just like it's you and God, God and you.
Yep. Mm. And so you were raised Jewish?
Yes.
And so what I don't tend to think about a large Jewish population in Latin America, and obviously I'm wrong. What's it like being Jewish in Brazil?
Quite comfortable.
Okay.
Quite comfortable. It's just like we don't have any sort of anti-Semitism. We hardly have to say that we're Jew, or people look at us, you know, like when they look at our last names, because they're usually exotic, right?
Okay.
So they go like, what is this from? And then you have to explain, and they look at you, but they don't really know what it is to reject.
Okay.
On a religion basis.
And what's the sort of dominant strain of Judaism? Is it Orthodox or conservative or...?
Conservative, mainly.
Okay.
A bit of Kabbalism, which was the Jewish tradition I was born in, and none of the modern Jew around the world. I mean, as a Jew, as a bisexual or a gay Jew, being in the States, it's much more easy. If
yeah.
you want to follow the religion and all that, it's much easier. Here, if you go and you open yourself, they just kick you out.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. Tell us a little bit about gay marriage in Brazil. One of the things you told me was that the gays don't really care about it there.
Yeah, yes, that's true. There is a huge, there is a big group that wants the marriage. But there's other huge group that doesn't really care about it because they were more focused on the companionship rights that they want to have.
Mm.
So they are not really fond of wedding cakes and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Signing a piece of paper.
Yeah, like exchanging rings and putting, paired tuxedos.
Because it's quite a big thing in so many countries, including this country. Everyone's trying to get our government to change their views and bring in gay marriage. But now you're telling me in Brazil, where people would expect it to be part of the agenda, I take it the government there is not even worrying about it.
Well, actually, there is this. It is there for being studied by the Congress for ages now.
Mm.
And there's this all sorts of frictions. So all the rights have been granted without this. Because
right.
on the Brazilian Constitution here, they say that you constitute a family to procreate, and gays generally don't procreate, right?
Right.
Well, that's not true anymore, but...
Anyway,
but I mean, you know, that's what they wrote on paper ages ago.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and actually it's a dominating sort of thing, because it's not a really question. So people here say like, well, what, you know, I'm for a party, it's not a marriage at all. You know?
Okay. Almir, we'll have to come back to your story very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh, and our guest today is Almir from Brazil. Almir, before the break, we were talking about gay marriage and how it's not so important in Brazil for the gay community. But what about gay partnerships? How do they stand there?
Well, union rights have been granted for ages now, for more than 10 years already. So it's normal. I think that we don't have a huge amount of legal gay unions. I guess that's because people haven't really, really got together to get a partner that deserved it. Because it's a tricky thing, you know? It's not that easy to tell somebody that you want to leave your house to the person, or you want to live a pension in case you die, or you want to live with that person for all your life, and it's not easy to anybody.
Mm. But
it's not an easy decision.
But in Brazil, if a gay couple are together, and for example one dies, what happens to everything that person's leaving?
Depending on what sort of legal arrangements they have. If they have a legal union, the person is considered a widow.
Okay.
Regardless of the sex. So if it has a government pension to it, the government pension would give to the companion. Health plan, all that is also granted. If the person if they were living together for more than 2 years, the person that was left alive can go to justice and ask for the right of a widow, and it would not be recognized.
And so what would a couple have to do to register as a union? Is it just going to the city hall and signing a form, or what do they have to do to be recognized?
They have to make an accord, sort of a contract.
Okay.
And then they go to any sort of they don't go to the city hall, because and they can go to any sort of register office and register it there.
That sounds easy enough.
It is. It's quite simple.
And so, you know, do you have any hypotheses or thoughts about why countries that grant civil rights like that to same-sex couples, why in some of them marriage is still so important? Like here in Australia, we still have the same rights as a married couple without having to get married, and yet there's still a big push to make marriage legal, whereas in Brazil it isn't. Do you have any sense why not?
Well, I think that mainly here they got all the rights already.
Yeah.
So marriage it turned into a thing either of a spite of spirit, somebody that actually wants to throw a party.
Yeah.
Or self acceptancy, but all the legal parts are already granted, so you don't really have why to fight about marriage.
Yeah.
Because nobody is denied anything, you know.
Other than the word marriage.
Yeah, so marriage didn't get that big on a picture. The biggest picture here now is putting on jail whoever discriminates a gay.
Okay.
That's the big fight now. The fight here is just like, hey, if you batter a guy, because there's still some prejudice on a sense that Barb, you have a girlfriend that, you know, got drunk at night and, you know, beat your butt out. If you go to the police station to file a complaint against this person,
yep.
Here and there you can find the person that's not going to look at it
as
a violent act.
Okay,
you know, it's just because there were two women. So here is pretty much what's happening. They don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And in order for that not to happen, they want this bill that criminalizes all sorts of violent acts, also as a gender prejudice act.
Yeah.
Amir, I'm just going to change the subject slightly here. We're going to stay on the gay issues. But one thing that you once told me was that in Brazil, you had three transvestite mayors and one yes. openly gay mayor in a small town. Is that still the case?
Yes. And there is a federal deputy now that's openly gay, that's actually a writer. He is a sort of a congressman.
Okay.
A member of a parliament, for you guys to have a picture.
Yep.
And he is totally open, and he fights for the rights, and he's quite smart, and he's not... He tries to bring reality things together and fight for laws on human rights that are coherent, not right. the ones that... But that's one of the things I'd like to point out that might shed a light for what you guys feel and behave there, is that here what we have now is that society is starting to debate among itself, because rights have been granted, you know, people got exposure, media opens up to any sort of debate, many media people now are open themselves as gays and all, and there are other parts of society that you know, that it's not on the main, on the upper stream that's debating that. It's just okay. Like, hey, why do I have to listen so much to them? And that's why I think some points of prejudice and homophobia has arisen, because it's just like we also touched on the other people's frustrations, and if they don't feel listened, they start to you know, to fight against you. So it's just like more of, aside a legal agenda, here Brazil has sort of, is in a stage that society is fighting among itself.
Right.
Which is nice, because it's what's all about. It's yep. about social acceptancy, and it doesn't happen without friction, and it doesn't happen without debate.
Okay. Almira, I'll just have to stop you there for a second, and we'll come back to this fascinating subject very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Barb and Hugh, and our guest today is Almir from Brazil. Almir, before the break, we were talking about gay marriage and how it's not so important in Brazil for the gay community. But what about gay partnerships? How do they stand there?
Well, union rights have been granted for ages now, for more than 10 years already. So it's normal. I think that we don't have a huge amount of legal gay unions. I guess that's because people haven't really, really got together to get a partner that deserved it. Because it's a tricky thing, you know? It's not that easy to tell somebody that you want to leave your house to the person, or you want to live a pension in case you die, or you want to live with that person for all your life, and it's not easy to anybody.
Mm. But
it's not an easy decision.
But in Brazil, if a gay couple are together, and for example, one dies, what happens to everything that person's leaving?
Depend on what sort of legal arrangements they have. If they have a legal union, the person is considered a widow,
okay,
regardless of the sex. So if it has a government pension to it, the government pension would give to the companion. Health plan, all that is also granted. If the person if they were living together for more than 2 years, the person that was left alive can go to justice and ask for the right of a widow, and it would not be recognized.
And so what would a couple have to do to register as a union? Is it just going to the city hall and signing a form, or what do they have to do to be recognized?
They have to make an accord, sort of a contract.
Okay.
And then they go to any sort of, they don't go to the city hall, because, and they can go to any sort of register office and register it there.
That sounds easy enough.
It is. It's quite simple.
And so, you know, do you have any hypotheses or thoughts about why countries that grant civil rights like that to same-sex couples, why in some of them marriage is still so important? Like here in Australia, we still have the same rights as a married couple without having to get married, and yet there's still a big push to make marriage legal, whereas in Brazil it isn't. Do you have any sense of why not?
Well, I think that mainly here they got all the rights already.
Yeah.
So marriage it turned into a thing either of a spite of spirit, somebody that actually wants to throw a party.
Yeah.
Or self-acceptancy, but all the legal parts are already granted. So you don't really have why to fight about marriage.
Yeah.
Because nobody is denied anything, you know.
Other than the word marriage.
Yeah, so marriage didn't get that big on a picture. The biggest picture here now is putting on jail whoever discriminates a gay.
Okay.
It's that's the big fight now. The fight here is just like, hey, if you batter a guy, because there's still some prejudice on a sense that if you, let's say, you, Barb, you have a girlfriend that, you know, got drunk at night and, you know, beat your butt out. If you go to the police station to file to file a complaint against this person,
yep,
here and there you can find a person that's not going to look at it
as
a violent act.
Okay.
You know? It's just because there were two women. So here is pretty much what's happening. They don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And in order for that not to happen, they want this bill that criminalizes all sorts of violent acts, also as a gender prejudice act.
Yeah.
Amir, I'm just going to change the subject slightly here. We're going to stay on the gay issues, but one thing that you once told me was that in Brazil you had three transvestite mayors and one openly gay mayor in a small town. Is that still the case?
Yes, and there is a federal deputy now that's openly gay, that's actually a writer. He is a sort of a congressman.
Okay.
A member of a parliament, in a way, for you guys to have a picture.
Yep.
And he is totally open, and he fights for the rights, and he's quite smart, and he's not... He tries to bring reality things together and fight for laws on human rights that are coherent, not the ones that... But that's one of the things I'd like to point out that might shed a light for what you guys feel and behave there, is that here what we have now is that society is starting to debate among itself, because rights have been granted, you know, people got exposure, media opens up to any sort of debate, many media people now are open themselves as gays and all. And there are other parts of society that you know, that it's not on the main, on the upper stream, that's debating that. It's just like, hey, why do I have to listen so much to them? And that's why I think some points of prejudice and homophobia has arisen, because it's just like we also touched on the other people's frustrations, and if they don't feel listened, they start to you know, to fight against you. So it's just like more of, aside a legal agenda, here Brazil has sort of, is in a stage that society gets fighting among itself.
Right.
Which is nice, because it's what's all about. It's about social acceptancy, and it doesn't happen without friction, and it doesn't happen without debate.
Okay. I'll just have to stop you there for a second, and we'll come back to this fascinating subject very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Barb. And in Brazil, we've got Almir, who we've been talking to about all sorts of things, politics in Brazil. And in our last segment here, we wanted to ask you about HIV rates. Are they going up? Are they going down? Is there a big political movement around generic drugs, that kind of thing?
Well, you see, they stopped the generic drug fights because they already got some of the HIV treatment in Brazil has already been produced here.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're tough on that. ironically, amongst youngsters, teenagers especially, gay teenagers, with all this outcry for openness and acceptance and all that, and also for HIV treatment being free and totally democratic and all that, they're not really caring about. So safe sex, not that much of a big issue, because life doesn't last forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're 18, you can live. You know. Yeah.
So does that mean infection rates are going up amongst young people because they're
among teenagers, yes.
Wow,
among
that's scary.
Yes, that's scary. And it's a really tough issue because they're very sexually driven, and on the other sense, barebacking, it's kind of becoming a boom now here, and especially amongst teenagers. Actually, there are people that want to get infected because they get health benefits.
Oh, my.
Because of health benefits.
Wow.
One of the things you told me, Almir, was that in your town, which is 3.5 million people, you had about 12,000 people who had HIV.
Yeah, well, formally registered and being treated.
Right.
Yeah, that's the last data.
Does that mean that there are far more who are not registered and being treated, or because it's free, as soon as you're diagnosed, you start getting treatment?
Well, as soon as you're diagnosed, you get treated already. Unless you refuse, right?
Yeah. And are there people who do refuse?
Well, you have suicidal people everywhere, honey.
Yes, yeah, so.
Just like there are some people that want to die and just need an excuse.
And the sex trade, is that quite regulated and controlled with regard to HIV as well?
Yes, yes, yes. It's just like we have all sorts of city activities on the health department, on the city hall, that addresses very much these issues on schools and all. We are having sort of a problem because they're trying to introduce safe sex to people to pre-teen type, you know,
yep.
Like around 11, and they're starting to try. So mothers, especially religious mothers, were fighting over it because they're saying that they're trying to make the sexual drive of their children and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
Has the church get involved in this argument as well?
Usually on retrograde things, churches always has a finger on it. You know, and it's funny because among people over 60, especially straight, and unfortunately, straight women are really getting infected.
Over
60? Ladies of 60s and 59 years old, 64, 70, finding out that their husbands were cheating away on her.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep. So it's
infected.
It's unusual
to We have to thank Pfizer for that.
It's unusual, though, to hear that an older generation are being infected with HIV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we're having that. We're having an increase on straight women.
Right.
And we are having an increase on gay teenagers.
Okay.
Luckily, IV drug infection here is very low because people here don't like needles.
Yeah. That's interesting.
They are more herbal, you know, crack is huge, but not IV drugs here.
Okay.
Almir, tell me a little bit about the region that you live in. Is it a touristy area? Is it somewhere that you would recommend that I go and visit for a holiday?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. I think it's one of the best parts, actually, know Brazil on its route, because it's where it all started. So you have all sort of architectural monuments and cultural links that helped build what Brazil is now. So it's nice to have this route sort of thing around.
So what's your weather like there?
Oh, it's great. It's 27, 28 degrees year-round.
Oh, that's nice.
What about humidity?
Oh, well, humidity is quite high in summer.
Avoid summer, then.
Believe me, I sweat to ashes.
Well,
so it's horrible.
Almir, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's been lovely speaking with you.
It's been great. It's been my pleasure.
But thank you very much for taking time out today, or tonight in your case.
Well, I thank you guys for giving me a chance to actually show and bring some other subjects for your audience.
You're welcome.
And you guys can count on me anytime.
Good. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night, wherever you're going to get up to.
Well, I'll do my best.
Thanks, Almir. Hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And bye, Barbara.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.